Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you to double. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works.
All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you.
They shall tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power.
That all people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. You, Lord, are faithful in all your words and loving in all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall down and lifts up those who are bowed down. The second reading is from chapter 7 of Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said to them, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It is a holiday weekend. Many are celebrating the Declaration of Independence. Independence Day is one of the great national holidays. What is interesting is that those colonists knew all too well that declaring independence and being independent are two different things. In fact, the Declaration set off war. That war had dramatic toll. It is hard. Freedom is hard. Some of you think that I am dancing into political space at this point. You can almost hear the bumper sticker, "Freedom is not free." There's a whole series of associated slogans that then follow. The truth is that the kind of freedom I am talking about is much deeper, much more challenging. The difficulties of winning independence for this nation, difficulties that continue for some citizens even today, are mere symptoms of the deeper challenge. Paul speaks of it. Jesus speaks of it. Zechariah speaks of it. The authors of Zechariah acknowledge the profoundly deep challenges of ongoing and entrenched warfare, everything, especially trusting in leadership, the shepherds of the nation, presents a fearsome reality. But today, the authors announce a new reality. In it, the Lord will execute restoration. The Lord will bring release. Rejoice. Paul speaks of a different kind of warfare. Paul describes a spiritual warfare where individuals enveloped into his eye know God's desire, the right course. They desire to do the right thing. They intend to do the right thing. But somehow there is a pattern, a law, a norm that no matter how much one wants to do the right thing, they too often do the opposite. He sets it up as a feud between the flesh and the spirit, but really that kind of Greek dualism raises a dangerous specter of avoidance of responsibility. Still, where does freedom come from? According to Paul, true freedom, spiritual freedom, cannot come from within humanity. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Further that more, what is normal is that when I want to do something good, evil is close at hand. It is all so very wearisome. In the end, the problem is that humanity cannot work its own righteousness. Some commentators note that Paul is speaking about structural, even cultural realities that train humanity into particular responses that are contrary to God's desire. It happens within family systems as well. People grow up in systems that leave ingrained patterns of thinking and behaving. Changing those patterns takes monumental work. Even the act of becoming aware of those patterns and acknowledging them, acknowledging the need for change is huge. When one does become aware, when one does acknowledge the need for change, the results are unsettling, challenging. They affect a dramatic toll. Perhaps it is precisely to this that Jesus is speaking. The people want freedom, but they don't recognize the freedom that John was offering. His ascetic lifestyle, his tough demands, well, they weren't to people's liking. The people ultimately rejected John's teaching, but when Jesus comes along, and instead of asceticism, he eats and spends time in the community, hangs out with sinners, offers invitations to a new way of living. And the people reject that as well. This is one of those times in the Gospels when one can positively hear Jesus' exasperation. It's as if he's saying, "What do you people want?" Today, the reading then skipped over where Jesus really lets loose. Where Jesus lands, though, is back at invitation. "Come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." What a wonderful invitation indeed. I was in conversation with members of this community who noted, "I don't know where these people are who are relaxing in the pandemic. I'm working harder and feeling more stressed than ever." And another intimated ways that health vulnerabilities mean that their household cannot rely on hired assistance. Just keeping it all together has become a massive burden. Articles abound about how electronic meetings exact a toll on people in a variety of ways, the ways that this time is difficult are novel and demanding. So many people yearn for rest and relationship and some sense of normal. Perhaps that is what this nation has witnessed with the easing of restrictions and the rush to act as though nothing is afoot. But of course, the coronavirus, the COVID virus, is still afoot. Vigilance is necessary, still. Care and love for others is called for by God's commandment. Love God. Love your neighbor. As wonderful as all that is, Jesus does not stop with an announcement of rest. In fact, his next words tell us that he isn't talking about everyday burdens. What he is talking about is a yoke, the yoke of Torah as interpreted by the teachers and preachers of his time, and that yoke of his teaching. Jesus is calling people away from God's law as a crushing burden. Jesus is calling people to a freedom that is enacted in God's reign. And from the beginning, Jesus has been calling for repentance, a change of mind, of thinking, of behaving. In the Hebrew reality, this repentance is a turning around, a changing of course. Paul calls what God offers through Jesus grace. This free gift is grounded in forgiveness and the promise of new life. In this, there is freedom, glorious freedom. And has been noted, this freedom is from the weariness of desiring the good and doing the evil, from striving and failing, from guilt that crushes. But freedom is not for the sake of freedom. No, God's freedom for you is also freedom to serve and love and care for and indeed sacrifice on behalf of friends, acquaintances, even total strangers. This is called loving your neighbor. Living this reality in community, together under the yoke of Jesus, each one finds relief, hope, restoration, and forgiveness. From this flows all kinds of new life. May this new life energize each one of the faithful over and over again. Or as Paul writes to the congregation in Rome, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior."
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.